Hey everyone, I won't keep you too long, don't worry. I'm just going to read you briefly from the book of Acts. If you've got a Bible, you can turn to it if you've got one on your phone or an actual book. I'm just going to read a little bit from Acts chapter 2, and it starts like this. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. And there were Jews from every people under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each of them heard them speaking in their native language. Amazed and astonished, they said, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how do we hear them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, visitors from Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. They were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They're filled with new wine." And Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning, but this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, God declares, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will see visions. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Upon my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood, fire, and smoky mist. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." It's good, that, isn't it? And this is the day when the church worldwide remembers that story. So everywhere across the world, in churches, in every country, people will be reading these verses today, because this is the day of Pentecost, when we remember this story. And one of the things I get to do a lot is travel around the country, and I hear so many stories at the moment of God at work in churches. Churches that were struggling, bursting into life, people becoming Christians, people having dreams about Jesus and turning up at churches. And there's statistics that have emerged recently about the God's church growing, and talk of a quiet revival, and little kind of glimpses all over the place that God is at work in our nation. And on this day, when the church remembers the first outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we are in this room celebrating Marie and Rosemary, and having two signs, if you like, of what God is doing in Salford. It's not just the rest of the country or other countries. It's here where God is at work. God is at work here. And here in this building, where so many of us over so many years have prayed in this place that God would pour out his spirit, that people would come to know Jesus. In this room where we saw hundreds of young people month after month fill this place, coming to worship Jesus. And so we remember that. We remember that day when God poured out his spirit on the church for the first time 2,000 years ago. And all these people were gathered. That's what it says in those verses. All these people were gathered from all around the world. And they were telling the Jewish festival of Pentecost. They would tell the story of when Moses went up Mount Sinai to get the law, and there was this big storm at the top of the mountain, and there was wind and lightning and all of that stuff. And so they're telling that story on that day of Pentecost. And you've got these disciples, 10 days after Jesus has ascended to heaven, that they basically, Jesus said, "Before I ascend to heaven, I want you to get into Jerusalem and pray just pray and wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so they've had a 10-day prayer meeting. You might think this meeting's going on quite long, but this was a 10-day prayer meeting that they were having in the upper room. And on the 10th day of this prayer meeting, when they're telling the story of Pentecost and they're telling the story of the law and the storm on the mountain, a storm happens in this upper room, and they hear the wind, they hear the sound of a rushing wind, and they see fire on each other's heads. And all of the story that they were telling then starts to happen within that room. And thousands of pilgrims from all over the world are gathered outside that room, and they spill down into the square, and they start talking in all these different languages from all around the world. I don't know how many languages are represented in this room, but in that, there's, you know, I read that list, or tried to read that list, of all of those different countries and all those different languages. And the curse of the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11 is reversed in this moment where people can't understand each other. Suddenly everyone, every nation and tribe and tongue gathered in one place can hear the glory of God and the word of God spoken in that way. And I love the fact that the first evangelistic talk in the history of the church starts with the words, "We're not drunk." You know, by the way, we're not drunk. And he says, no, this is what was prophesied by the prophet Joel all those hundreds of years ago, that the Spirit is going to be poured out on everyone. It's no longer just for the heroes of the faith, Moses and Deborah and all of the great people that we hear about in the Bible. It's for everyone. It's for me. It's for you. It's for Rosemary. It's for Marie. It's for everyone here. And that's what's happening in this moment. And Peter stands up and he tells them about what Jesus has done, that he died for their sins and God raised him from the dead. And he says this line, which I love. He says, it was impossible for death to keep its hold on Jesus. It was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. That's who we're worshipping today. That's the person who Rosemary and Marie and many of us here have given our lives to. The one who, for whom it was impossible for death to keep its hold on. And it says that the people were cut to the heart and they said, what should we do? What should we do? And Peter says this, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you want to follow Jesus with your life, that's what you do. You repent, you turn from the things that you used to do, and you turn towards Jesus, and you be baptized. And that's what two people today are doing in obedience to the command of Jesus. If you want to follow Jesus and you've not been baptized yet, come and see us and let's do that. Let's baptize you. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift that can be poured out into all of our hearts. And Peter says, this promises, so he's talking to this big crowd of Jews, and he says, this promises for you and your children and all who are far off. That's us. We're far off. We're 2,000 years off. We're a couple of thousand miles away from there. And he says, this is for you now. This is for you, all who are far off. And about 3,000 people were baptized on that day. We've only got two today. Maybe there'll be more if any of you fancy it later. But let's see. And what we're seeing is a little glimpse, a wonderful glimpse of what happened on that day. And we're praying for the Holy Spirit to fill us. Two amazing people committing their lives publicly to following Jesus. Everyone in here is called to follow Jesus. Everyone is called to obey him in baptism. And when we lower them under the water, and we already have done it once, so you've seen what happens. You've seen that we do allow you to come back up. When you go under the water, it's about leaving behind the old life, leaving behind the living for ourselves. And as you emerge cleansed by the water, but cleansed by Jesus, and into a new life of following him with everything that you've got. And my prayer today is that this is just a little glimpse of what God's going to do over the next weeks and months in our churches. This is just a glimpse of many, many more people giving their lives to Jesus and being baptized. And this is possible, and this is where we'll land. This is possible because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. that sermon by Peter, that first sermon that we've just read a little bit from, is all about Jesus Christ. And it's about him giving his life on the cross so that we might live. And then 3 days later, defeating death forever by rising from the dead. And it was probably, and it was the same people who were in that upper room where they were filled with the Spirit, who were also in that upper room when Jesus took bread a few weeks before. And it was possibly the same upper room, but it was certainly the same people. And Jesus took some bread just the night before he was killed, and he broke it, and he gave thanks to God, and he shared it with his followers. And he said, whenever you do this in remembrance of me. Do this to remember, this is my body broken for you. This is my blood that was poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And we can benefit from that. So before we do our next baptism, we're going to obey Jesus in that. We're going to take bread and wine together, and we're going to give ourselves to Jesus again. So it's the kind of two things really that Jesus told us to do: be baptized and remember him in the bread and the wine. So I don't know who's giving this out as we do this, but as someone is, while that's happening, I'm going to pray a prayer. So if you want to, sorry, Steve. Brilliant, thanks Steve. And just like Jesus explained those things to his first disciples, it's all a bit fiddly. Why don't we put ourselves and our minds back into that upper room? And as you're kind of opening, you might want to open it now because it's going to take a while. Let's put ourselves in our minds into that upper room where Jesus knows what he's about to do. Jesus knows that he is about to give his life for the world, for me, for you, for all who would come after him. The disciples are not sure what's going on, and he takes the bread. And maybe if you're able to, just take that wafer now and let's eat it together. This is my body, Jesus said, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And we receive from you again today, Lord. We receive your blessing. We receive your grace and your goodness. All the things that Marie listed earlier. Thank you, Lord. And your blood that was poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. So we receive your forgiveness again today, Lord. We come to you and say sorry for the things that we've done that we shouldn't have done. We say sorry for the things we should have done that we didn't. And we receive your forgiveness today. So let's take the cup poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And as those disciples took the bread and the wine with Jesus and then went through the agony of seeing their Saviour die on a cross and the excitement and confusion of seeing him return on the Sunday and the joy of having him with them for a few more weeks, and then he ascended to heaven, and then the 10 days of prayer back in that upper room. And so, Lord, as we prepare now to baptize Rosemary in this day and in this room, would you fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit? Would you visit us in power? Would you make us bold to proclaim your glorious gospel in this city and beyond? And may this be a glimpse of many more people coming to know you and giving and making that commitment to you with their whole lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.